This feast is such a good reminder that God has intended us to be with him, that our bodies and souls are made by God and reflect his goodness. In our gospel today, we hear the great prayer of Mary, the Magnificat. I love this prayer because it reminds us of all the goodness that God has shown us throughout the ages, all the graces and blessings he has given us. Mary recounts all the wonderful things God does for us, how he lifts up the lowly, how he fills us with good things, how he has remembered his promise to Abraham and his children forever, how God has come into our lives and offered us the gift of salvation. But I particularly like the first line, the very first line of the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary is giving us a profound statement right here. While on the surface, it's an expression of her interior emotions. She is overwhelmed with joy in this moment at the visitation, encountering Elizabeth, recounting what God has done in her life. But it is not just an expression of her interior emotions. It's also an expression of her external life, how she is living. She is stating that her life, her soul, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. By her actions, by her participation in God's plan, she is proclaiming God's goodness. Through this beautiful statement, we are reminded that we are made in God's image and likeness, and that allows us to reflect God to the world in how we live, in how we interact with one another, how we strive for virtue. God has made us in such a beautiful way with our immortal souls that we are able to participate in God's life through our intellect, through our will, through our ability to hear the word of God and to live it out. We are able to participate in God's life and proclaim him to the world. And this is what we are called to do as his disciples, to try to reflect God's goodness more and more each day through our lives, so that together as a community of believers, we can come to know God and to journey towards him, to be with him in heaven, to reach our ultimate goal. And so this statement of Mary, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, is truly profound and reminds us how God has created us to reflect his goodness. Some translations of this prayer even render that first line as, my soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord. I think that's a beautiful image that we can magnify the goodness of God with our lives, with how we live. It's something that we ought to strive for, truly to live out. Mary, she shows us that God has a unique plan for all of us. God created each of us in his image and likeness, yes, but he also created each of us unique. He has a special plan for each and every one of us. All of creation, together in its goodness, is like a beautiful song. It's like an orchestra with God as the composer and the conductor. And when all of creation is working together in unity as God intended for it to be, it creates this beautiful song, and it glorifies the Lord. We are called to participate in this song of creation, to glorify the Lord with our lives, to be his instruments through which he works. But sometimes, through sin, through our fallen nature, through temptation, we don't always work as God's instruments. Sometimes we work as instruments for ourselves because we are fallen. We beat to the march of our own drum, if you will, rather than listening to God and following his plan for our lives. And when we do this, this creates discord. It creates a cacophony of noise rather than bringing harmony and participating in the beautiful song of creation. In our world today, we can see what that looks like. We see people who think that they know better than God, that they have a plan for their life. They say, God, I know you made me in this way, but I don't really like that. I'm going to choose to do something else. I don't really like who you made to be, so I'm just going to change it so that I can live how I want to. Rather than trusting in God's wisdom, we start to listen to our own fallen reason. And we see the discord and the disunity that happens when we do that. But Mary reminds us of the beauty and the peace and the joy and the fulfillment that comes with participating in God's plan for us. Mary shows us what it means to perfectly follow the will of God. And look at the results of her obedience to God, of her willingness to work with God. God became man through her, and salvation is offered to us. Mary teaches us to rejoice in being created male and female, to rejoice in how God has made us particularly, the specific gifts that he has given each of us. Sometimes it's easy to look around and say, yeah, Lord, it wouldn't have been great if you would have given me the gifts of so-and-so, or if I could have done this or been like that, and to compare ourselves to one another. But we are all made with our specific role to play. Like St. Paul says, we're the body of Christ. Some of us are the hands, some of us are the feet, some the eyes, the ears, the mouth. We all have our part to play, and there's great beauty in the special role that God has given us to play, in the body and the soul that he has given us. The body and the soul are not disconnected. Our body is an expression of the soul that he has given us, not just a shell that it lives within. Our lives are a great gift from God that when we live in accord with his plan and give back to him, we participate in the beautiful song of creation and our journey towards heaven to be with him. And so Mary teaches us to always rejoice in God and his plan for us and how he has created us to be. But we know that it's not always easy to cooperate with God's plan. It's not always easy living on this earth. Sometimes the school of hard knocks gets us down, and life can be difficult. And when this happens, we can again turn to Mary, because Mary's life was full of difficulties as well. It's sometimes easy to think about Mary's life and to just whitewash things and to think, you know, Mary's life must have been pretty darn good. It must have been perfect. Conceived without sin, the mother of our Savior, she had it made. But that's not true. Her life was full of sorrow and hardship as well. And through it all, she leaned on God's grace to sustain her and to nourish her through it all. Just imagine being in the shoes of Mary. She was betrothed to a man who wasn't the biological father of the son that she was bearing. This would have been a great scandal in her time for her to endure. It would have been a hardship for her to carry, especially in the small town of Nazareth, where everyone knows everyone. They know what's up. They know what's going on. Think again, after the birth of Jesus, how Herod wanted to kill Mary's child. He wanted to kill this king who was threatening his throne. And so Mary, with Joseph and Jesus, had to flee to a foreign country. This would have been extremely difficult. Again, imagine the sorrow and the worry and the panic going through Mary's heart as she searched for the Christ child when he was lost in the city of Jerusalem for 3 days. She would have been in a panic. I mean, think about the time that we've lost a child in the grocery store for 5 minutes and then multiply that by 3 days. And again, we think about the greatest sorrow in Mary's life, having to watch the crucifixion and death of her beloved son. Mary's life was not easy. She could have easily despaired, turned away, but she is this perfect model of how we can trust in God, trust in his plan for us, and the beauty and the salvation that comes through our participation with God. And so on this Feast of the Assumption, let us look to Mary as a model for our life, what our life can be when through the power of the Holy Spirit, we overcome sin, we overcome death through the help of the Lord. Let us always reflect God's goodness as Mary's life did. Let us live in such a way that, like Mary, we can always say, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior."